Hi everyone, Evan from Gray Faction here. It has been a while. As always, there are a number of things going on behind the scenes that you'll find out about eventually. But one announcement I can make is that we are now on TikTok. So if you keep up to date with the ongoing Satanic Panic like we do, you probably know that it's all over TikTok. So we figured we would try to reach people where they are instead of hoping they find us. Our username on there is just @GrayFaction, so it should be easy to find. Another note is that I did a podcast episode on Lucian Greaves' podcast back in November about some fascinating occurrences within the ISSTD, the International Society for the Study of Trauma and Dissociation. You can find that episode on Lucian's Substack and Patreon if you haven't heard it already. Anyway, today's episode is the riveting story of how Satanic Panic captured psychiatry. Most of this information can be found in the previous episode on the history of the ISSTD, but this one's much shorter for those of you who don't want to listen to me drone on for nearly 2 hours. And in my opinion, this one is much more interesting. I think it's worded more dramatically, I guess, although always faithful to the truth. Okay, enough telling you about it. Let's get into it. If you ask people today about Satanic Panic, they either don't remember it, maybe because they weren't born yet, or if they do remember it, they think of things like hysterical preachers warning of secret demonic messages hidden in metal songs, or PSAs about the dangers of Dungeons and Dragons. Though it's worth poking fun at the silly stuff, there's a much more serious story to be told, and it's one that's still unfolding today. The truth is, Satanic Panic was not just for uneducated conservative religious zealots. People from all walks of life fell for it, including doctors and academics. And many of them still believe in it today. This is the story of how Satanic Panic captured psychiatry. But first, I should explain Satanic Panic for those that don't know. Generally speaking, Satanic Panic is simply a fear of Satanists. That includes viewing self-identified Satanists with the utmost suspicion, but also imagining the existence of secret devil-worshipping cults and spreading fear about them. They are thought to gather on occult holidays to hold bizarre religious rituals, usually involving orgies, human sacrifice, and all manner of child abuse. Their victims are usually innocent members of the dominant religion. They may place members in powerful positions in the community, conspire to take power and rule over everyone else, or both. In any case, they are an existential threat to all that is good, and they must be stopped. This fear fueled the witch hunts, but it's part of a tradition that can be traced all the way back to ancient Rome. Groups suspected of this kind of activity have included Christians, Jews, pagans, and, of course, Satanists. No account of the crimes committed by these supposed secret, debaucherous cults has ever been substantiated. In conclusion, Satanic Panic is the result of an ancient conspiracy theory repurposed and repackaged to target Satanists and other outsiders. Although this fear has been with us for centuries, it took over in a major way in the 1980s and 90s, primarily in the United States. Many believe that a secret cult was ritually abusing children in daycare centers, that Satanists were sacrificing innocent people en masse, and that the cult had infiltrated all sectors of power to cover up their crimes. There were daytime talk show specials and law enforcement training sessions dedicated to exposing and countering this massive conspiracy. Although there was no physical evidence for their involvement in crime, innocent people were prosecuted anyway, and some spent decades behind bars. These victims of Satanic Panic included daycare staff, Wiccans, lesbians, and other community members deemed outsiders, all of whom were labeled Satanists. In sum, a substantial portion of Americans became convinced that a large, powerful, and secret satanic cult was abusing children in bizarre rituals. If that sounds like QAnon, you're exactly right. So, what did psychiatry have to do with it? It began with a 1980 publication of a book called Michelle Remembers by Canadian psychiatrist Lawrence Pazder and his patient and later wife, Michelle Smith. The book weaves a fantastical tale of Michelle's alleged abuse at 5 years old, perpetrated by a powerful satanic cult, revealed over the course of extensive recovered memory therapy with Dr. Pazder. The narrative that emerged described horrendous acts committed against Michelle and other children during satanic rituals, including torture and human sacrifice. One ritual lasted 81 days, culminating with the appearance of Satan himself and ending with Michelle's rescue by the Virgin Mary. Despite the narrative's ubiquitous absurdities, Smith and Pazder went on an extensive book tour in which they were interviewed by television hosts who didn't dare question the book's accuracy. They even went to the Vatican. Then, Pazder married his patient. In 1981, Pazder presented at the annual conference of the American Psychiatric Association, the APA. It was here that he coined the term ritual abuse to describe what happened to Michelle. This was the first major step in satanic panic's creep over the field of psychiatry. Though Pazder's role is difficult to overstate, the kindling he set was ignited by a handful of his colleagues also in attendance at the APA conference that year. But let's back up for a minute. It's impossible to talk about satanic panic in psychiatry without acknowledging the role of multiple personality disorder, or MPD, now known as dissociative identity disorder, or DID. Prior to the publication of the book Sybil in 1973, case studies on MPD rarely attributed the disorder to child abuse, and most patients had just two or three personalities. Since Sybil, virtually every MPD patient has been a woman who was allegedly sexually abused as a child and traumatized so severely that her mind created several alter personalities to separate memories of the abuse from conscious awareness. Although Sybil would later be revealed by journalist Debbie Nathan to be largely fabricated, Cornelia Wilbur, the psychiatrist who treated the patient known as Sybil, was considered a foremost expert on MPD following the book's publication. And soon after, MPD diagnoses began to skyrocket. In 1978, the American Psychiatric Association held its first MPD workshop for mental health workers. It was chaired by a psychiatrist named Ralph Allison, whose favored treatment methods included exorcism. He also chaired the workshop in 1979, inviting Wilbur to join him. Wilbur invited two other psychiatrists who were making a name for themselves as MPD experts, Bennett Braun from Chicago and Richard Kluft from Philadelphia. This was the first meeting of Braun and Kluft, who would be instrumental in founding an organization focused on promoting satanic panic just a few years later. In 1981, the same year Pazder coined the term ritual abuse at the APA conference, Braun and Kluft ran the MPD workshop. Although Pazder's patient Michelle was not diagnosed with MPD, the juxtaposition is significant. Here we have fervent discussions of a surging diagnosis thought to be caused by severe child abuse, alongside lectures on recovering memories of secret satanic cult crimes perpetrated against innocent children. It was a match made in hell. Some psychiatrists were probably already putting the pieces together by this point, but an elaborate theory of multiple personality disorder caused by satanic ritual abuse was still a few years away. A network of mental health professionals with an interest in MPD was forming, centered around the APA's MPD workshop faculty, with pockets in Chicago and Atlanta. In 1982, Atlanta-based psychologist George Greaves organized a steering committee for the founding of the International Society for the Study of Multiple Personality. The organization would gain traction the following year when several members of the MPD network met at a restaurant the weekend of the APA conference. The founding of this organization, which would later become the International Society for the Study of Trauma and Dissociation, or ISSTD, coincided with the beginning of satanic panic. The hysteria began in 1982 in Kern County, California, in a series of cases in which dozens of people were accused and convicted of perpetrating satanic ritual abuse against more than 60 children. It all began with a rumor of abusive parents invented by a step-grandmother, which quickly spiraled out of control. Nearly all of the convictions were eventually overturned, but two of the accused died in prison before they could appeal their sentences. These cases never should have resulted in charges in the first place. The district attorney responsible for these convictions did not have any physical evidence, relying solely on the testimony of children who were coached by social workers. Where did the social workers get the satanic ritual abuse stuff from? They had just attended a training seminar about ritual abuse in which Michelle remembers the quote-unquote true story written by Michelle and her psychiatrist, Lawrence Pazder, was included as training material. This pattern, our rumor of abuse, followed by poorly conducted interviews of alleged victims by mental health professionals who recently learned of satanic ritual abuse, and resulting in charges and convictions despite a complete lack of physical evidence, would repeat many times over the next several years, especially in daycare centers. Simultaneously, movements devoted to raising awareness about sexual abuse, incest, and the effects of childhood trauma on primarily women's mental health in adulthood were reviving Freud's concept of repression, the notion that memories of sufficiently traumatic events may be blocked from conscious recall, but will nonetheless cause mental illness. The theory is closely related to MPD. Treatment often involves recovering the memories using hypnosis or similar methods now known to produce false memories. Although Freud eventually abandoned repressed memory theory, some therapists insist on its validity, believing that memories of abuse, including satanic cult abuse, are often buried in the unconscious until recovered during therapy. Given all of these factors, one may consider it inevitable that satanic abuse would become a focus point within the ISSTD. The ISSTD held their first conference in 1984, when the satanic panic that began in Kern County, California, a couple years prior had started to spread to other counties, states, and even countries. ISSTD conference presentations were strange from the very beginning, but they didn't seem to promote satanic panic conspiracy theories in earnest until about 1986. Three presentations in 1984 discussed cult-created alter personalities, and another in 1985 covered, quote, cultic dissociation techniques, unquote. That same year, according to Chicago Magazine, Jane Dubrow, a founder of the ISSTD who would later marry Braun, had, quote, met six students who claimed to belong to a satanic cult and to have victimized children, unquote. By the end of that year, Braun, then the first president of the ISSTD, treated seven cases of alleged satanic ritual abuse. The conference in 1986 included at least four presentations that mentioned satanic ritual abuse. One of them was a paper presented by Braun and George T. Gray, which reported the results of a questionnaire completed by attendees at the 1985 conference regarding their NPD patients. The paper reported that about 25% of the MPD patients had, quote, some cult involvement, unquote. The authors conclude that ritual abuse, quote, appears to be transgenerational in many cases, as is multiplicity, unquote. The elaborate theory of multiple personality disorder caused by satanic ritual abuse was codified. It is difficult to overstate the importance of this moment. Here was an organization spawned from the American Psychiatric Association and led by three of the foremost experts on MPD, promoting the unfounded conspiracy theory that satanic cults were committing unspeakable crimes against children all over the country in secret. Moreover, the diagnosis of MPD continued to increase exponentially year over year. Disaster was inevitable. The APA should have quickly sidelined these irresponsible psychiatrists providing a professional stamp of approval on an unfounded moral panic. Instead, they continued to lead the MPD workshops at annual conferences until the late 90s. It is unlikely that satanic ritual abuse did not come up during these workshops. After all, Braun, at the ISSTD conference in October 1988, blamed satanic cults for the epidemic of MPD cases. That same month, the ISSTD had the opportunity to speak directly to the American people rather than the limited audience of mental health professionals. Braun and Kluft, along with several other founders and prominent members of the ISSTD, were interviewed for the infamous Geraldo Rivera special titled Devil Worship, Exposing Satan's Underground. They told of alleged threats to therapists, including themselves, for treating alleged survivors of abuse perpetrated by satanic cults. The special contributed significantly to Satanic Panic, and Geraldo later apologized for it. The ISSTD has never provided such an apology. A training video produced by Cavalcade Productions entitled Ritual Abuse, A Professional Overview features the same ISSTD members sitting on the same couch and wearing the same clothes as in the Geraldo special. But this time, their audience is their fellow mental health professionals.
Child therapists whose young patients disclosed ritual abuse have compiled extensive lists of symptoms and allegations. At the same time, clinicians treating patients with dissociative disorders were finding that many of them had been ritually abused as children. The accounts of these adults often closely parallel disclosures by children in daycare cases.
They discuss satanic cult activities their patients were forced to participate in, including blood rituals, human and animal sacrifice, and murder.
They include lots of sexual abuse, drugging of the children, pornographic pictures being taken, threats to the child and to the child's family, animal killings and blood rituals, and even human sacrifice, including the child being forced to perpetrate in that sacrifice, which of course is probably the most damaging aspect of the abuse itself.
They decry skepticism and the possibility that any of these bizarre memories might be false. Bennett Braun, founding president of the ISSTD, feigns skepticism himself.
I don't know what's true and what's not true, but we need to take a look at this whole thing.
But a few minutes later, his restraint vanishes.
I think part of it is, it's painful to think that this may be true. And for me as a therapist, the first thing was, it was painful, I don't want to believe this. And then when I hear it enough times, I can't deny it. It doesn't make sense to me to deny it, at least in terms of I'm hearing it. Then what happens is I get paranoid, and I get scared. And part of the power of the cult, both with the individual and with the others around it, is its ability to induce fear. And so I get scared, and I don't want to look at it because I'm scared. And then I come back and say, it needs to be done, it needs to be looked at.
Braun closes, rather ironically, by cautioning against mass hysteria.
Though we've said a lot of terrible things, a lot of scary things have been said here, we have to be careful that we don't get a mass hysteria and a paranoia. Because a contagion effect, another Salem witch trial, is not going to do us any good.
Yet, immediately after, the narrator announces,
"The observations of experienced therapists leave little doubt that children in our society are at risk of being ritually abused."
Year after year, since the 1980s, the ISSTD continues to promote Satanic Panic conspiracy theories at their conferences, in their newsletters, and on their website. ISSTD members write articles and blog posts promoting the myth of satanic ritual abuse. They go on each other's podcasts to talk about how our society has betrayed victims of Satanists, and they publish books recycling the same debunked claims about massive cults hiding in plain sight. They treat patients, many of whom inevitably come to believe they were victims of satanic ritual abuse. And they train new therapists who discover cult abuse in their own patients, write about it in books and articles, and the cycle continues. Sometimes they get sued by patients whose lives they ruin with their poor treatment methods, but there is no systematic effort to rid the mental health field of this plague. Moral panics don't occur in a vacuum. They are often helped along by people in positions of authority who should know better, like doctors. Until the mental health field implements the guardrails required to prevent its members from contributing to satanic panic, Gray Faction will remain on the front lines holding these irresponsible therapists accountable. When people talk about satanic panic, they usually think of it as something that ended in the 90s. The reality is that satanic panic isn't restricted to a period of time. It's based on an irrational fear that has been around for thousands of years, and it may never fully leave us. When former patients began suing their therapists for suggesting they were victims of satanic ritual abuse, and after the media began to focus on these therapeutic abuses instead of invisible Satanists, the moral panic certainly subsided. But it didn't totally disappear, and it can be revived at any time. Recent conspiracy theories related to Pizzagate and QAnon are examples of resurging satanic panic. And that's the story of how Satanic Panic captured psychiatry and why it won't let go. To learn more about how we combat Satanic Panic in the mental health field, see grayfaction.org/wiki.